A few years back, I noticed a young woman walking, holding an infant, her mobility impaired. I thought, how brave. One arm and one leg didn't quite behave. How was she managing to hold on to him? Well, just fine. And Nina Mitchell is now expecting her second child. We've gotten to know her story and find her even braver. Nina was a 26-year-old DC.com success in the early 90s when everything changed after she felt an odd sensation in her stomach at a wedding. She suffered a massive stroke, woke up with no control of her body or her mind. She later told her story at The Moth.
But sometimes I made no sense at all. Like, I grabbed a doctor's hand very violently and I said, I have a magic uterus. And the thing is that I just don't know who I was at that time or who was the person.
Nina spent months recovering in the hospital, years more at home. 15 years later, she's a successful writer, blogger, mother, wife, is working on a memoir, and she wants people to know that strokes happen to young people too. Nina Mitchell joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Hi.
So not only that, you, I'm imagining, also want people to know they may never know why they had one. Do you know why you had a stroke as a healthy 26-year-old?
No, they never found it.
And you didn't have any of the factors, obesity, you know, you're slim, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. You had none of that.
Yeah. So there are various kinds of stroke. So there's the older people stroke, which tends to err on people who have high blood pressure and various other things. But then there's another kind, and that tends to skew younger. It's called hemorrhagic stroke.
Yeah.
So people with the more common kind of stroke have a clot in their brain. People with the my kind of stroke have a bleed in the brain. So it's just blood that leaks out into the gray matter itself.
Well, and you had been diagnosed with what, a small stroke prior to the massive one?
Right, exactly. So I had one that was about golf ball size, which is not tiny, but it was being monitored.
Yeah.
And then at this friend's wedding, I just felt very strange. So I went home and then I called my parents, which was probably a good sign that something was very odd. Mm-hmm. My parents lived in Los Angeles. And they suggested that I go to a friend's house for the night, given my history. And all my friends were at this wedding. Mm-hmm. So the only person who was home was my ex-boyfriend.
Let's hear it for ex-boyfriend.
Right. And the next morning, I was just not making sense.
Yeah, you woke up. He found you, got you to the hospital. And talk about that not making sense. We heard you tell your doctor that you had a magical uterus. What was your explanation? Where did you get that magical uterus?
I think it was a STD from the military.
Right. You got it by getting a classified STD in the military. So making absolutely no sense. So stay here for a second. How did you know you had that first stroke? I mean, I think it's important to get symptoms out to people.
Yeah. So I had had problems typing and I went to see a hand doctor and she looked at me and said, oh, you don't have carpal tunnel. But I'll refer you to a neurologist. Maybe you had a nerve injury. A few days later, I went to see the neurologist, and he said, looked at me and said, go get an MRI immediately, because he noticed all kinds of things that I had just not picked up on. He noticed that it was hard for me to balance on my right leg, on my heels, you know, things like that, where I hadn't noticed that. I had asked the neurologist, what are we talking about? You know, and he said, well, MS, a brain tumor, or a stroke. And stroke is the best possible option.
And it was, as you say, a small bleed at that point and then a massive one later.
Yeah.
So you're in the hospital. And in addition to the language and the arms and the legs, you say personalities aren't, you know, static. They can change. Did yours change?
I think so. A speech therapist actually told me to go talk to my friends about what was different about me. They had all kinds of things. Some of them were silly. You know, you laugh louder.
It's not, you can live with that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Other things were rather disturbing. Like someone said, yeah, you're kind of rude to waiters. You know, and then expanded it to say, before you had really good etiquette, and now sometimes you don't have it.
Hard to hear, but actually good to hear.
Yeah.
So you can monitor it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm very good with waiters right now.
Well, you also learned about brain plasticity. We know that you can teach the brain, but particularly when you're young and have a stroke, it's even more plastic?
Yeah, so your brain is plastic, and if you wanted to learn how to do a new stroke for swimming, say, the first thing, you know, you do it and be awful at it, right? And the second time, you would do it awful, and then again and again. And for rehab, that's kind of the way it is. It's you constantly going back to the gym, doing exercises again and again, with the hope that your brain will figure out new pathways to improve motor function, speech, everything that you could possibly do.
Program itself, yeah.
Yeah. And certainly when really young children have strokes, they can often recover completely.
And now you also are sharing information as a parent with a disability. So what's the thing about having had a stroke that impacts your parenting the most?
Physical things, right? My son is very large. He's a big guy. Some of it is just, you know, mom can't lift you up at times, and sometimes you have to listen to daddy who will deal with it.
We'll talk about that, because do you talk to your son who's a toddler saying, mom can do, you know, these things or that thing, my arm is this way? I mean, do you talk to him about that?
I don't really talk to him directly about it, but there's plenty of things that he picks up on just as a little kid. And I'm sure at times in the future he's going to notice. Right now, there are little things like, you know, mom has trouble opening those really annoying pouches, like the baby pouches. Daddy does it better and faster if you're hungry.
Well, and in your blog about that, which is a very entertaining blog, as your little guy is going, oof, you know, imitating your sounds, trying to open these stupid pouches, you say you found another way to do it, you know, by leaning on the pouch and kind of squeezing it open. Or, as you said, how about you people who design these pouches make them better?
Right. Anyone with arthritis would have trouble opening these things.
Right. So. Another post, you talk about playing ukulele with your son, and he seems annoyed that you can't strum as hard as he does.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. He's forgiven me. But
exactly. Yeah. But that struck a chord with a reader who talks about her granddaughter who comments on her weak arm. So you've given people a place to hear about someone else who's having these issues. Your blog is called Mind Pop. It's a term you use in articles as well. What's that phrase?
You know, your mind is so important to you, right? And, you know, it disappeared in my case for a while. And when it came back, it wasn't the same as it had been. I just think of that as a good catch-all for all the things that have changed.
It popped.
Yeah.
You know, you're a Harvard grad. Mind was very important to you working in the dot-com world. Was there any grief over that?
Yeah. You know, especially early on when a lot of my friends were on the make, you know, they were off to grad school and starting companies and writing books. And that was very hard to watch that happen because I had to stop and do rehab for years while my other friends were, you know, discovering planets, you know. But now, you know, I think I sort of see my life as having ups and downs, and I'm definitely in an up period, right? So I have a lovely son. I have a lovely husband. Mm-hmm. I work, you know, so it's all very exciting.
Do you ever still have the confused speech? I mean, there are very funny stories about calling your friend Helen a haddock.
I think she was a halibut.
A halibut. Do you ever still have aphasia or?
Not like that. It's more like if English weren't your first language. So you just have to work a little bit harder to get words out.
Are you hearing from young people who've had strokes?
Oh, yes, all the time. People write in all the time. You know, there's a stroke mama and stroke papa world of people with strokes who have kids, and that's an interesting community of people.
Well, how great that you can provide them with a place to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think just people in general find the brain interesting, right? Big questions that emerge when your brain is sort of disappeared for a while.
Yeah. Well, Nina tackles them. We'll link you to her blog. She plans a memoir. It's also called Mind Pop. Nina, thanks.
Thank you.
We'll also link you to more information about having strokes when you're young at hearnow.org.